Jehovah highly values the loyalty of his worshipers. He especially appreciates it when we are loyal to him even under adversity. How does Jehovah respond when we remain loyal to him? He, in turn, takes great pleasure in showing his loyalty to us. Psalm 145, verse 17 says, Jehovah is loyal in all that he does. This means that Jehovah is dependable, always faithful. He will never abandon his friends. How do you feel about having Jehovah on your side? There is no greater blessing. Jehovah is willing and able to use his limitless power in behalf of his people. So it makes sense to be on Jehovah's side. For that reason, most, if not all, of Jehovah's worshipers start out with every intention of being loyal to him. But there is a difference between wanting to be loyal to God, claiming to be loyal to God, and actually remaining loyal to God. Every one of us will have our loyalty to Jehovah put to the test. When that happens, will you take a firm stand on Jehovah's side? The issue of loyalty is clearly illustrated by the events that took place in the wilderness of Sinai, shortly after the Israelites left Egypt. God's people started out with every intention of being loyal to Jehovah. They entered into a covenant in which they promised to be loyal to God. And Jehovah, in turn, offered them his unbreakable loyalty. What lessons can we learn from this account? Let us start by reading Exodus 20, verses 1 through 7.
Then God spoke all these words.
I am Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You must not have any other gods besides me. You must not make for yourself a carved image or a form like anything that is in the heavens above, or on the earth below, or in the waters under the earth. You must not bow down to them, nor be enticed to serve them. For I, Jehovah your God, am a God who requires exclusive devotion, bringing punishment for the error of fathers upon sons, upon the third generation and upon the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loyal love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You must not take up the name of Jehovah your God in a worthless way, for Jehovah will not leave unpunished the one who takes up his name in a worthless way.
Try to visualize what happened here. Just 3 months after the awesome display of Jehovah's power in the 10 plagues on Egypt and the crossing of the Red Sea, God's people find themselves in front of a violently trembling Mount Sinai. There is thunder and lightning, a heavy cloud, smoke, and what seems to be the loud and constant sound of a horn. In this setting, Jehovah describes himself as a loyal God, promising to show loyal love to those who give him exclusive devotion. In effect, Jehovah was telling his people, if you prove to be on my side, I will prove to be on your side. How did the Israelites respond to Jehovah's pledge of loyalty? Let's follow this account by reading Exodus 24, 3 through 18.
Then Moses came and related to the people all the words of Jehovah and all the judicial decisions. And all the people answered with one voice,
all the words that Jehovah has spoken, we are willing to do.
So Moses wrote down all the words of Jehovah. Then he got up early in the morning and built at the foot of the mountain an altar and 12 pillars corresponding to the 12 tribes of Israel. After that, he sent young Israelite men, and they offered up burnt offerings and sacrificed bulls as communion sacrifices to Jehovah. Then Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it aloud to the people. And they said,
"All that Jehovah has spoken, we are willing to do, and we will be obedient."
So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said,
"This is the blood of the covenant that Jehovah has made with you in harmony with all these words."
Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was what seemed like a sapphire pavement, and it was as pure as the heavens themselves. He did not harm the distinguished men of Israel, and they saw a vision of the true God and ate and drank. Jehovah now said to Moses,
"Come up to me on the mountain and stay there. I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment that I will write for their instruction."
So Moses got up with his attendant Joshua, and Moses went up the mountain of the true God. But to the elders he had said,
"Wait here for us until we return to you. You have Aaron and Hur with you. Whoever has a legal case may go to them."
Then Moses went up the mountain while the cloud was covering it. Jehovah's glory remained on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. To the Israelites who were watching, the appearance of Jehovah's glory was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. Moses then entered into the cloud and went up the mountain. And Moses stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
Imagine how thrilled the Israelites must have been. There they were in the presence of the only true God, listening to Jehovah's promise of loyalty and making a covenant with him. At Exodus 19:5, Jehovah tells them, "If you will strictly obey my voice and keep my covenant, you will certainly become my special property out of all peoples, for the whole earth belongs to me." As you might expect, the Israelites responded with a strong determination to be obedient, faithful, yes, loyal to Jehovah. Unanimously, they replied, "All that Jehovah has spoken, we are willing to do, and we will be obedient." However, as mentioned earlier, there is a difference between wanting to be loyal to God, claiming to be loyal to God, and actually remaining loyal to God. In the account we are reading, the Israelites had every intention of being loyal to Jehovah. But could their loyalty withstand an unexpected test? Let's follow along with the reading of Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 35.
Meanwhile, the people saw that Moses was taking a long time coming down from the mountain. So the people gathered around Aaron and said to him,
"Get up, make for us a God who will go ahead of us, because we do not know what has happened to this Moses, the man who led us up out of the land of Egypt."
At this, Aaron said to them,
"Take the gold earrings from the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me."
So all the people began taking off the gold earrings that were in their ears and bringing them to Aaron. Then he took the gold from them, and he formed it with an engraving tool and made it into a statue of a calf. They began to say,
This is your God, O Israel, who led you up out of the land of Egypt.
When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. Then Aaron called out,
"There is a festival to Jehovah tomorrow."
So they got up early on the next day and began offering up burnt offerings and presenting communion sacrifices. After that, the people sat down to eat and drink. Then they got up to have a good time. Jehovah now said to Moses,
"Go, descend, because your people, whom you led up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have quickly deviated from the way I commanded them to go. They have made for themselves a statue of a calf, and they keep bowing down to it and sacrificing to it and saying, 'This is your God, O Israel, who led you up out of the land of Egypt.'"
Jehovah went on to say to Moses,
"I have seen that this is an obstinate people. So now let me be, and I will exterminate them in my burning anger. And let me make a great nation from you instead."
Then Moses appealed to Jehovah his God and said,
"Why, O Jehovah, should you turn your burning anger against your people after bringing them out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'He had evil intentions when he led them out. He wanted to kill them in the mountains and exterminate them from the surface of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and reconsider your decision to bring this calamity on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by yourself and said, 'I will multiply your offspring like the stars of the heavens, and I will give all this land that I have designated to your offspring, so that they may take it as a permanent possession.'"
So Jehovah began to reconsider the calamity that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Moses then turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. The tablets were inscribed on both sides. They were written on the front and on the back. The tablets were the workmanship of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua began to hear the noise of the people because of their shouting, he said to Moses,
"There is the sound of battle in the camp."
But Moses said,
"It is not the sound of singing over a victory, and it is not the sound of wailing over a defeat. I hear the sound of another kind of singing."
As soon as Moses got near the camp and saw the calf and the dances, his anger began to blaze, and he threw the tablets from his hand and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and he burned it with fire and crushed it into powder. Then he scattered it on the water and made the Israelites drink it. And Moses said to Aaron,
"What did this people do to you that you have brought a great sin upon them?"
Aaron replied,
"Do not be enraged, my lord. You well know that the people are inclined to do evil. So they said to me, 'Make for us a God who will go ahead of us, for we do not know what has happened to this Moses, the man who led us up out of the land of Egypt.' So I said to them, 'Whoever has any gold must take it off and give it to me.' Then I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf."
Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had let them go unrestrained, so that they were a disgrace before their opposers. Then Moses took his position in the gate of the camp and said,
"Who is on Jehovah's side? Come to me."
And all the Levites gathered around him. He now said to them,
"This is what Jehovah, the God of Israel, has said. Each of you must fasten on his sword and pass through all the camp from gate to gate, killing his brother, his neighbor, and his close companion.
The Levites did what Moses said. So about 3,000 men were killed on that day. Then Moses said,
"Set yourselves apart for Jehovah today, for each of you has gone against his own son and his own brother. Today he will give you a blessing."
On the very next day, Moses said to the people,
"You committed a very great sin, and now I will go up to Jehovah to see if I can make amends for your sin."
So Moses returned to Jehovah and said,
"What a great sin this people has committed. They made themselves a god of gold. But now, if you are willing, pardon their sin. If not, please wipe me out from your book that you have written."
However, Jehovah said to Moses,
"Whoever has sinned against me, I will wipe him out of my book. Go now, lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you. Look, my angel will go ahead of you, and on the day when I make an accounting, I will bring punishment on them for their sin."
Then Jehovah began plaguing the people because they had made the calf, the one that Aaron had made.
The Israelites appeared to have every intention of being loyal to Jehovah, but their faith was evidently too dependent on Moses' visible presence. When Moses remained on Mount Sinai longer than expected, the Israelites became anxious. Perhaps they felt abandoned by Moses, or perhaps they feared that Moses had died up on the mountain. Whatever the case, they thought of themselves as being stranded in the desert without their trustworthy leader. Their loyalty was put to the test. True loyalty would have moved the Israelites to view these disconcerting circumstances as an opportunity to prove their exclusive devotion to Jehovah, even when they were in distress. They sought comfort by pursuing a fleshly course that included merrymaking, eating, drinking, and idolatrous rituals. Ironically, they described the event as a festival to Jehovah. What is more, they deluded themselves into believing that the golden calf was a representation of Jehovah himself. They actually thought that they could engage in idolatry and still be loyal to Jehovah. They wanted to be loyal to Jehovah, and they claimed to be loyal even while venerating a golden calf. How did Jehovah view them and their form of worship? Jehovah told Moses that the people had corrupted themselves and had deviated from doing his will. In his burning anger, Jehovah considered annihilating the newly formed nation of Israel for their betrayal. Not all of the Israelites, however, proved to be disloyal to Jehovah. Moses, for example, took a firm stand against the idolaters. He took the calf that they had made and he burned it with fire and crushed it into powder. And when Moses took his position in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on Jehovah's side? Come to me," all the Levites gathered around him. In their loyalty to Jehovah, the Levites went so far as to take up the sword against their own idolatrous relatives and neighbors. Moses and the Levites were unquestionably on Jehovah's side. In response, Jehovah proved loyal to them. Jehovah was also loyal to his friends, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by remembering the promises he had made to them. So he did not exterminate the entire nation. Jehovah is indeed on the side of those who are loyal to him. Please follow along as we conclude our Bible reading. Let us now read Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 14.
Then Jehovah said to Moses,
"Carve out for yourself 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that appeared on the first tablets, which you shattered. Get ready for the morning, as you will go up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and station yourself before me there on the top of the mountain. But nobody may go up with you, and nobody else should be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks or herds should graze in front of that mountain."
So Moses carved out 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and got up early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai, just as Jehovah had commanded him. And he took the 2 tablets of stone in his hand. Then Jehovah came down in the cloud and stationed himself with him there and declared the name of Jehovah. Jehovah was passing before him and declaring,
"Jehovah, Jehovah, a God merciful and compassionate, slow to anger and abundant in loyal love and truth, showing loyal love to thousands, pardoning error and transgression and sin, but he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, bringing punishment for the error of fathers upon sons and upon grandsons, upon the 3rd generation and upon the 4th generation."
Moses hurried to bow low to the earth and prostrate himself. Then he said,
"If now I have found favor in your eyes, O Jehovah, then please, Jehovah, go along with us in our midst, although we are an obstinate people, and forgive our error and our sin, and take us as your own possession."
In turn, he said,
"Here I am making a covenant. Before all your people, I will do wonderful things that have never been done in all the earth or among all the nations. And all the people among whom you live will see the work of Jehovah, for it is an awe-inspiring thing that I am doing with you. Pay attention to what I am commanding you today. Here I am driving out from before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Be careful that you do not make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you are going, or it may prove to be a snare among you. But you are to pull down their altars. You are to shatter their sacred pillars, and their sacred poles you are to cut down. You must not bow down to another god, for Jehovah is known for requiring exclusive devotion. Yes, he is a God who requires exclusive devotion."
What lesson do we learn from this Bible account? Wanting to be loyal to Jehovah is not enough. This world's corrupting influences can deceive us into thinking that we can deviate from Jehovah's principles and still be loyal to him. But Jehovah requires exclusive devotion. Granted, we will face adversities. We might have unexpected family problems or encounter serious financial difficulties. Members of the congregation may offend us. Poor health may cause us great suffering. When experiencing such distress, we must always remember that violating Jehovah's principles is never a solution. But taking a firm stand on Jehovah's side will always bring blessings. This is guaranteed because Jehovah is always dependable, reliable, and unfailing. He promises to show loyal love to those who give him exclusive devotion. In effect, Jehovah is telling us, if you prove to be on my side, I will prove to be on your side. As we just read, Jehovah will do wonderful things for his people. Jehovah is a God merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, and abundant in loyal love.